to another episode of the Comic Source. I'm your host, Jace. It's another crowdfunding spotlight. We're here today to talk about a campaign that's going on Indiegogo. I have the artist and creator, Lucas Lee Garza, joining me. Lucas, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so it just launched a couple days ago. Wallow is the name of it. If you had to describe it, and we're going to get kind of deep into it, don't worry, everybody, not spoilers, but if you had to describe it really quickly, somebody comes up and says, hey, what's Wallow about? What's your elevator pitch for the project?
Wallow is a dark fantasy story centered around two brothers basically experiencing the world around them all on their own. And they're thrown into this hellish landscape that is riddled with war. And the whole story is them trying to find each other again after being split apart. And think of your favorite genres. I took big inspiration from Game of Thrones, Adventure Time, Berserk, and Over the Garden Wall, and bundle that all together, and that's what you have as well.
Yeah, and when we talk about your art style, very kind of heavily manga influenced, would you say?
Yeah, definitely, I would say so.
All right, so for those that aren't aware, that Lee and Lucas's name is Jim Lee. Obviously, a lot of people know who Jim Lee is. He's one of the biggest artists in comics. So we really want to focus on this project here, but you know, we gotta mention it. That's a huge resource for you to tap. So how did your dad, did you tell him, hey, I've got this project, I got this idea, like what kind of input are you drawing from that resource? I mean, it'd be kind of silly not to, right?
Yeah. So the funny thing enough is when people usually figure out that he's my dad, they're always like, how involved was he in the process and all this kind of thing? And he really wasn't from the start. And that was kind of deliberate, is because the whole journey was kind of for me to figure out everything on my own, which is basically what he did, you know, when he was my age. So he didn't really teach me how to draw or anything. He just gave me the books in college when I was about a freshman that he studied with, you know, anatomy books and stuff like that. So he sent me that, and I basically studied those and kind of taught myself all throughout college. And he initially helped with the kind of fleshing out the kind of concrete story, just getting like establishing that I have a first, middle, and end to like the whole written story. And that happened about 3.5 years ago. And basically I was just left to my own devices all the way through that whole entire journey, just making it all on my own. And I would briefly check in with him every so often, but I mean, I basically kind of took it on all by myself, and that was deliberate on both of our ends. And then of course, now that I finished and the pilot is out and everything, and I launched, he's helping in other regards, like variant covers and stuff like that. So working with other artists to get that out there, but you know, this is just kind of the start with everything.
Yeah, I mean, again, the campaign, as Lucas mentioned, is for the first three issues, if you will, but you have a lot more, you know, planned. This isn't the complete story, right? So how many issues, ideally, would you go to tell the story you have in mind?
Oh, boy. So it's a pretty long story, which is like kind of took in from the richness of Game of Thrones. I love long-form storytelling, and like Lord of the Rings. So right now, 3 issues have been released to the public, but actually I have issues 4, 5 and half of 6 already done as well. So in total, I want it to be a 5-act series. So I would say maybe around 40 issues. It's the whole story.
Fantastic. You
know, yeah. I mean, it took 4 years. It's not, you know, like it takes a lot of thinking behind that. It's not for nothing. So yeah.
Yeah. And would you say growing up in a, you know, in a situation where you knew your father was creative, you know, because I know you're an actor as well. Did that kind of fuel the creative fire? Was it something you always wanted to tell stories, whether through your acting or through creating comics, storytelling, that kind of thing? Was that always an interest of yours?
Yeah, I would say it definitely became more apparent when I got to college, because originally my main passion was game design. I loved coding and stuff. And so I went to college for that, and then I realized I didn't want to do it. So the only other thing I could kind of do at the time albeit very mediocre, was draw, just because I doodled a lot in high school. And that was when I went to my father, and he basically said, "All right, this is what you got to do. You got to draw 12 hours a day. You got to put in the work and the hours, and then maybe you'll make something of yourself." So that's,
Cool.
yeah.
Well, you mentioned some of the inspirations. You mentioned Game of Thrones a couple times here, but Lord of the Rings and some other things where there's magic, right? So let me share everybody some of the art that's available. You can see on the Indiegogo campaign. So talk to us about this page. Obviously, a lot of purple. It's very bright. And I know future issues you may go black and white, which I love that texture as well, doing that. But for these first three, at least color. So is this a magic user? Like, talk to us about this scene. Talk to us a little bit about the way magic works in the world you've created.
So yes, exactly. Future issues will be in black and white, mainly because the original story I actually wanted to tell was in black and white, because I love manga. But one thing I realized with pilots is they're almost always black and white, so I kind of wanted to stand out with a pilot, and do everything that I possibly could. So that's why the first three issues are in color, and it also kind of gives the readers of a kind of more enriched vision of what the whole world looks like as they read further issues. And in this scene specifically, it's two, let's just say, mages battling it out between another. The one on the top panel, the woman, she's the mother of the two main characters. And she's basically defending her family from this mysterious enemy. And the way their magic is imbued is, this is kind of taking reference to Warhammer, which I also love, is there's these nine gods basically that exist in the universe, and they all kind of represent almost negative things about humanity, like hate, pride, malice, those kind of sorts of things. And whoever you are as a mage, if you align with them, that's kind of your tool set that you're given. So in this scene, the mother specifically, she's imbuing her magic, which is God of the Heralds, which is like summoning sort of magic. And that's why you see those little minions, fiendlings that are being flushed throughout the panels. And that was taken pretty, I would say, reference from Takashi Murakami. He's a another artist I also look up to a lot, and that's kind of how I got the design of those little goblin things.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated when creators, create a world of fantasy and it has magic because everybody approaches it a different way. Everybody thinks of magic in a different way. So I think that's always fascinating. And I think creatively a lot of fun to be able to figure out how you're going to depict it, right? So was that something that kind of intuitively you had visually in your head and, hey, I know exactly how the spells are going to look on the page and that sort of thing? Or was it kind of a trial and error? Oh, this doesn't look right. Let me try this other sort of design.
Yeah, there's sort of a fine line you have to find when trying to create a like a magic kind of school within any world you're kind of making. And so with that, I kind of looked to World of Warcraft, which was another huge inspiration of mine. Growing up, I played all the time. And I didn't want the magic to be too crazy, but I didn't also want it to be too simple as something like Harry Potter, which is I had to find the middle ground. So it was a bit of trial and error. I mean, this pilot, which is 88 pages, I redrew about seven times. So the magic evolved over that course of time. And I think I'm at a point where I'm pretty satisfied with it. I would say it's very much in the realm of Jujutsu Kaisen, if you've ever seen that. It's a Japanese animated series. It's very popular nowadays.
Well, this other page that we have on the screen now, it's something else that I think creatively I've been told by artists is a lot of fun is being able to design these monsters, right? These sometimes they're based on creatures of legends, like griffins or dragons or that sort of thing. Other times they're completely made up whole cloth by the artist on the particular project. So are we going to see a variety of different creatures, and how much fun did you have designing them?
Yeah, it is a truly fun process, honestly, creating these creatures, and you can really just let your imagination flow with it. I honestly work best when it's on the whim. I don't really plan much out. I find that's when I find the most raw ideas, and then I kind of just adjust from there. So this specific creature, I mean, you can of course find references to, I'm sure, other like Greek mythos characters, like the mix of like a hydra lion and stuff like that with all these different body parts. But I don't know. I didn't really take a specific reference when creating this sort of thing. All I knew is that this villain was a maniacal thing. The creature you see is his name's Baelvix. He's just some sort of cynic, like a jester, almost kind of like a Deadpool archetype. And so I wanted that kind of two-faced jester interaction that he has with himself, also kind of more like a Gollum Sméagol relationship. And yeah, I more so take loose ideas and I create around that, and that's how I find my designs.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about kind of story development as well, because I always find it interesting when somebody's writing and drawing it, right? It's a little bit of a different process. So do you come up with the visual, like when you're thinking about, okay, what purpose in the story does this Baelvix serve? What is his personality, if any? You know, what is it? Are you coming up with the story in your head and then you work on the visual? Does it happen simultaneously? Or do you do the visual first and then kind of figure out how he's going to fit into the story?
Yeah, no, the story is completely planned out in my head ahead of time. I already know the ending of the book. I know how every character reacts, every plot device, and every conundrum that the character will face throughout the story. So that was another thing when I first started planning out with my dad, was I have to have a concrete story from start to finish to make sure everything makes sense, because a lot of artists, they'll start writing a story and they'll start drawing, but then they don't have a resolution to what they've made, so they kind of start making stuff up on the fly as they go on, and then the story kind of falls apart. So no, this is all planned out. I took a lot of time making sure everything kind of made sense.
So you're writing it, you're plotting it out, you're coming up with the idea and the plot threads and what have you. And sometimes you have no idea what the what one of the creatures is going to look like, even though you've kind of already written their story.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's cool. So then as you know the story, so then that kind of informs what ends up coming out on the page, right? In terms of their visual.
Yes, exactly.
Oh yeah, that's a really interesting way to work. And again, I think it's probably a lot of fun for you because a way to keep you engaged, right? Even though you've written the story, that doesn't mean you know exactly what the visuals are going to look like. So there's still some excitement to come for you as a creator, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I get very, I kind of, I get bored easily, thanks to, culture nowadays, very instant gratification. So I kind of need that like constant kick, which is exactly how you put it. It's just as I go through the story, I don't necessarily need a physical depiction of something. It kind of, it feeds that excitement in myself, being able to do it on the fly. And that's, I don't know, it's how I work best.
Yeah, it's I mean it's working and from the visuals that I've seen. And then the other thing that I noticed, and you'll see this everybody, and again, you can go to the link in the show notes, go to the Indiegogo page. There's a little trailer there that Lucas put together as well. One of the things I noticed about the trailer, a lot of green, right? Like obviously we have some dark imagery, magic, and it's a, we'll get into a little bit more to the story in a second, but there's also a lot of green, which I think works really well for fantasy. A lot of people kind of associated with nature and that sort of thing. Is that a part of your story as well? Because I did notice, like, especially with the maps and whatnot, there's a lot of green. Looks like there's a lot of forest and that sort of thing. Talk to us a little bit about the setting of the world.
Yeah, so I've taken a lot of that from the Shire sort of thing, which is why I wanted the story starts off basically in like a Shire-esque sort of setting. It's very green forest, it's the Grove. So I really wanted to hone into that almost to create the juxtaposition that you will see in chapters 4, 5, and 6, which will launch around June. And basically, it's they are living in this fantasy world that we all have when we're kids, and then they're thrown into the real world, and it's very much different than this. It's a hell barren landscape. It's more like think of Warhammer. There's people being enslaved, all those sorts of things, and they have to witness the horrors of everything. So that was kind of deliberate in my process, when creating and setting this up. And yeah, I mean,
Well, it's the story of a family, and again, you get that in the trailer, the family's name, kind of surname, if you will, being Wallow. You come from a very large family. So how much does that inform? How much fun is that? Any inspirations? I mean, you don't have to name any names, but any characters that are kind of inspired by your siblings and whatnot?
No, definitely. So the main character of Lou is obviously he's based on me because my name's Lucas. And the other main character's name's Grim is based on my other brother. His name's Mason, and Grim is kind of an anagram for his full name. So in that sense, yes, the two main characters are based off me and my brother. The parents, they're loosely based, like characteristics and stuff. And like my siblings, they're characters you'll meet for future on in the story. But I think I just wanted to capture mainly how my experience was growing up. And my siblings, we were all very close, and we still are. But, we went through lots of things like parents divorce and stuff. And so it was, you have like this fantasy as a kid, and you start to see how, hard the world can be and how you learn from those experiences, which is exactly what I wanted to sort of get off when telling, the story of Wallow.
So did you always plan on crowdfunding this? Was it always a plan to self-publish and kind of see where it goes?
No, that was honestly a very tricky thing. I was trying to figure out the business side of all of this when I finished. Because on one hand, there's sites like Tapas or webcomics where, they're really popular nowadays, especially in the US, they're becoming more popular, webcomics. So I had that option, but it's tricky because you also don't make enough money when you go through those third-party publishers. So when I went to my dad about it a lot, because he's obviously very much in depth in this world, it seemed the best route after deliberation was doing crowdfunding. And then I think going from there, seeing how it goes, especially once the variant covers come out and then more people get interested in all this sort of thing, see how we go from there. I mean, I plan on doing a signing in Vegas. That's around July. So we really just have to see how things go. I mean, ideally, it would be cool if we got with a publisher. I know obviously one of my dreams is Dark Horse, but yeah, honestly, we're just seeing how it goes and playing it by ear from this point.
Yeah, one of the things is just getting visibility, right? Like it's a crowded marketplace. It is cool to do the crowdfunding because you can kind of establish kind of a little bit of a community around it, and you're directly to your readers and your fans and the people that are interested, not going through a publisher. So yeah, there are some advantages to that. But the other thing sometimes that really helps is getting out there and doing some shows, once you ha actually have the physical book done. So is that any plans for that in the future? Or is it that kind of still up in the air as well? Is it something you would like to do eventually?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm definitely want to look at Comic Con, probably seeing if I can get a booth in Artist Alley sort of thing. I definitely am going to hit up more cons now that I have this thing out. I mean, I've been working in the shadows for the past 4 years, kind of not really doing much of like outside marketing or anything or building this up because I just really wanted to focus on telling the story. So now that I'm done, now I have to do the not so fun side, which is just heavy marketing and doing all these sorts of things now. So yes, I do plan to do cons, shows, signings, and just honestly seeing how well this picks up with people.
Well, I think especially like the color palette, the logo's so simple, but that purple on black just really pops off. And so the other thing that I want to mention, everybody. So I heard about this. I went over to the Indiegogo campaign. I checked it out. I was shocked at what was available and the cost. I back a lot of Kickstarters. A lot of times it's like one book is like $25, $30. Here you get three. And I ended up going with the big tier, and I'll show you the rewards in a second, everybody, because it just had so much cool stuff. Like it had four variant covers. There's like a backpack and a keychain, and there's all this stuff. I was like, "What? This is fantastic!" So let me go ahead and put it on the screen. And why don't you tell everybody, Lucas, about what I was saying about the rewards that are available and what the tiers are?
Yeah, so the rewards, what Jason's talking about is the Grove package, and that basically gets you a variant cover between Ryan Benjamin and Destin Yuen, and you get to choose which one you want. You'll just have to DM me which one you want. And they're working on theirs right now, so the variant covers will be up soon. You get those, you get a custom-made backpack that I personally make. So the handles to the backpack are threaded. I wrap it myself. And then you get a custom keychain that I also carve out myself handmade. It's based on the key. Well, it's a wooden flute. If you read the pilot, you'll see what it's based off of. And then you also get a signed wallet poster. You get three signed versions of the issues, and yeah, much more. And you also get the PDFs, and it's cool. And like you can see right here, this is kind of what the backpack is. Pretty
That's
nifty
awesome.
old thing. Yeah, you got the keychains. And then, yeah, these are what would be the paperback issues that you'd get. One, two, and then three. But
Yeah,
yeah.
how many pages are they? How
It's
many?
88 total.
88 total, right? So 22, but a little, well, more than that. A little more than 22 each. So yeah, bigger than the size of a regular book, and yeah, obviously high quality. Again, everybody, you can go to the link in the show notes and go to the campaign and check it out. The other thing that I'll mention here, I'm gonna let Lucas talk about some of the other tiers. Maybe you just don't have it in your means to, spend $100 on the growth package, but there are some other tiers available. Maybe this sounds like it's right up your alley, and everything Lucas is saying is, ringing your bell, and you'd love to get it, but you just don't have the means right now. We understand that times are tight and what have you. The other way that you can help Lucas out, other than joining the campaign and becoming part of the community, is just share it. Share it out there on social media. Put it on your TikTok. Put it on your Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Talk to your friends that read comics or into manga or anime or that sort of thing. We really just need as many people to hear about this and go and join the campaign as possible, because there's nothing worse than finding out about a campaign after it's already over, too late to get it, especially if there's any kind of early bird offerings, for a particular campaign. So just go check it out, share it, tell your friends about it, let your retailer know. Maybe he wants to get some copies for the shelf or what have you. So yeah, other than that big package, Lucas, what are some of the other tiers that are available if somebody it just can't go all in like that?
Yeah, so if you don't want the Grove package, which is $100, you can get the second best thing, which is the trunk package, and that's also $50, and you get everything else except for the variant covers in the backpack, but you also get the cool wooden keychain. And you have tiers below that, which is the sapling and the seed package, which gives you the comics, the t digital PDF version. But at its minimum, the $10 tier, you still get three paperback issues and you get the digital PDF version. So you're getting more than what,
Yeah.
more, yeah.
You're
So.
I mean, that's that three books that are basically one and a half size of a regular comic for $10. I mean, that's cheaper than going out and buying, three Marvel or DC books or what have you. And you're supporting an independent creator who's just getting started, and you get the cool keychain, and you get the digital, and you get to be a part of the community as well, which is a really cool thing about crowdfunding. So yeah, again, I think maybe you might have to raise the prices a little bit. Like, I get it when you're starting out, right? Like, you want to keep the barrier entry low to kind of get your name out there and everything. But man, I know how hard you've worked on this just in our chat here. And yeah, you kind of gotta make sure that you're paying yourself too at some point.
Yeah, I know when so if we get to the $5,000 goal, that unlocks the Jim Lee and Jeff Scott Campbell variant covers. So, and those will probably be more based on conversation with that, probably between 200 to 400, depending on those. So that's the price range for that. But yeah, I know I could have raised the prices and people told me to, but I just, at the end of the day, I ultimately, I love the art. I love telling stories. Obviously, I understand money is a necessity if you want to be an artist because you need to pay the bills, get food. But I don't care if I make a lot of money or not throughout my life. I just want to tell stories. So the more people I can get it out to, that honestly makes me happy at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have other creators that come on, one of my good friends, who's become a good friend from coming on this show and talking about it. His name's Trevor. And yeah, same thing with him. He's charging like $5 an issue. And I'm like, dude, you're barely covering your costs. He's like, I know, but I just want people to read the story, so I keep the price low. But he, now that he's gotten a little bit more popular and has kind of a following, he has raised his prices a little bit. So hopefully you'll have the opportunity to do the same thing as well. So, but it's been great chatting with you, Lucas. I really appreciate the time. Best of luck with the campaign. As we're winding down here, anything else you want to let our audience know?
Just know that you get these tiers, like if you want the issue books, these are limited time, which means these will not be in print. Probably, I'm not doing it. So these are a limited times thing. You will only get these covers if you order now. Because in the future, when I start publishing either through myself, an established publishing, which I'll probably do Grim Publishing is the name, something like that, it's going to be completely different. So if you want limited stuff now, you got to get it now. And that's about it. It was a great talk with you. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, and I would be down to do it again sometime.
Oh yeah, for sure. We'll have you back on, maybe for the next campaign, or maybe I'll run into you at a show sometime. So
Yes.
again, best of luck with the campaign, and everybody, take what Lucas said to heart. Like, this is the only time, right? This blows up and becomes huge, and you can say, "Hey, I was there at the beginning." We all loved it as collectors. This is the collector side of collecting comics. You love to be able to say, "Hey, yeah, okay, you got the collected edition from Dark Horse or Grim Publishing or whatever, but I have the OG," right? You have those bragging
Exactly.
rights. So definitely go and check it out, everybody. Again, link in the show notes. And last thing, Lucas, if somebody wants to follow you, where's the best place, social media wise, to find out about your work and what's going on?
To do that, it would be on my Instagram, which is LucasLee_art. That's the best place.
Okay, great. And I'll put a link to Lucas's Instagram in the show notes as well, everybody. So if you're having trouble finding them, you can just go click there and give him a follow. So again, Lucas, thanks so much for your time. It's been a pleasure chatting.
Yeah, thank you.
And to all you
Sorry.
listeners, we want to thank you for your support as well. We appreciate you listening, and we will talk to you next time.
All right, see ya.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.